I was trying to think of something super dramatic to say to kick things off, but I didn't come up with anything. We're back!
Hi!
Jeez, that's loud. Hi.
Hi.
Work the kinks out again. It's been so long.
Oh, you know, I was excited. Get excited.
That's fine. Freaked me out there.
Hi!
Okay. No more. No more of that.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, it's been so long, we could literally talk about anything. I mean, the podcast could be about something completely different at this point.
That could be. We could just, you know, remodel the whole take and, you know, start talking about someone else. But
it's
I don't know anything else but hockey.
It's not a hockey podcast anymore. It's a cricket podcast.
Cricket.
We love cricket.
Mm-hmm.
British cricket is the best.
Yeah, you gotta pay attention to those bowlers and where they throw their balls.
Yeah, you love balls.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that stays the same is from the SodaStick.com studios. That stays the same, too.
All my friends coming out tonight. All my friends coming out tonight. All my friends coming out. Now we take it loose, and then we make it right. All my friends coming out tonight. All my friends coming out tonight. All my friends coming out, so now we take it loose, and then we make it a ride.
Parrish Fletcher podcast from the SodaStick.com studios. Yuppies. A very rare Saturday.
It's weird. It feels weird to be here on a Saturday.
It does. There's nobody here.
Ghost town.
But now you can see maybe why I actually enjoy coming in on holidays. Let me rephrase. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it because it's empty. And you can kind of just be like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone or Tom Cruise in Risky Business, just strolling around in your tidy whities, you know, scheduling music, watching movies or playing music super loud, sitting in my office.
Remind me to always give you a heads up if I'm ever going to come in here on a weekend and you're here.
Okay.
Just don't want to surprise you, I think, when you think you're alone here.
I think I'm alone now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you sing, Buffalo Bill.
Easy. Wow. That was actually, you said something funny. Mark that in the history books of the Parrish Fletcher podcast. Mark said something funny. So we were out doing TV this morning for Wiffle Wars 3.
Pumping tires.
Pumping tires?
Yeah, pumping tires.
Shaking pumping, hands, kissing pump, babies?
Pumping tires. Yeah, you know, along that line. Never heard
pumping tires? Yeah, I guess a little bit, but.
Pumping up Wiffle Wars?
Pumping the Wiffle War tires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It just didn't really make sense, that's all.
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Thank you to Jennifer and Mike at WCCO. Thank you to Dave and Belinda at Care 11. Thank you to Andrea for carting us around, kind of.
Yes.
Helping us out.
Making sure we're there on time and everything is taken care of.
We got to hit wiffle balls in the Care 11 backyard and on the WCCO rooftop. I mean, you know.
They were both really cool.
It was.
It was really cool. But
yeah.
I gotta give a little more. The rooftop was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rooftop. It's
yeah.
just that's just cool.
Hitting you
off
got
a,
you got
off
to,
a roof.
You got to hit one of my pitches onto Nicollet Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and found
and
it.
And we found it.
Yeah.
I can't believe people weren't scrambling for that souvenir.
Right.
I expected in San Francisco in the Bay, like with people in their kayaks.
Yeah.
I expected just people fighting tooth and nail. Shirts being torn.
Okay, you're
nails digging
a
into
good
skin.
Hitter, but you're not Barry Bonds. Okay, let's take it easy.
But it's a wiffle ball.
How big was his head back in the day, by the way?
Literally or figuratively?
Both.
Enormous.
Massive. But we did find it. You could follow at Wiffle Wars on the Twitters if you want to see us find the long lost baby.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a week from today. Wiffle Wars 3, CHS Field. We've got an awesome lineup. Ben Lieber. John Randall.
Chad Greenway.
JT Brown.
Ryan Carter.
Glenn Perkins.
AJ Mansoor.
Corey Koski.
Paul Lambert, if he shows.
Meat Sweat. That's what I like to call him. I like to call him Meat Sweats. No, Jana Shortle. Alicia Lewis. Eric Perkins. Pretty much everybody at Care 11 except Dave Schwartz.
Yep, he's that guy.
He sucks.
He's that guy. I can't believe he wants to be a dad instead of play Wiffle Wars.
It's awful.
What kind of person is that?
It's almost embarrassing,
seriously.
Really.
Priorities, Dave. Priorities.
We actually have a couple of late add-ons, too. Mike Grimm, play-by-play voice of Gopher Football and Gopher Basketball.
Yes.
Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson, yep.
Ben Clymer.
Benny Climber.
Are you going to let a gopher come play?
What?
There's
already a couple there, isn't there?
I don't know.
And Ron Johnson's a gopher.
Yeah.
Mike Grimm. You started it.
It's true. The aforementioned Alicia Lewis was just added. We also added a newcomer to the Wild who's a gopher, now that you mention it. Matt Robson. Goaltender for the Gophers. He's going to play.
Nice.
How do you say Andrew's last name from the Wild? H-E-Y-D-T.
Height?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it looks like hate.
Yeah.
Because hay with D-T on the end.
One of his nicknames is White or Whiter.
Oh, really?
I think it comes from... I was convinced his name was actually Andrew White because of being called Whiter forever.
Why do they call him Whiter?
I don't know. I think it's because so many people mess up his last name that they just finally just started calling him that.
Fair enough. He's going to play, too.
When he was with the Twins. Awesome guys. One of my favorites.
He helps us round up players, so we made a roster spot for him this year. For those that, Jennifer Merrilee, being we were just at WCCO, for those that did, Eric Stolhansky.
Stolhansky, Mink. How could we forget Mink?
You know what? At this point, I don't want to leave people out, so I'll just rattle through the cards. Why not? Let's find them. I have them all on my phone. Oh, I got to go into the Wiffle Wars 3 folder. Eric Perkins, Eric Stolhansky, Glenn Perkins, Jennifer Merrilee, Paul Fletcher, Ryan Carter, Andrew Reiner. He's the editor of Game Informer magazine. So if you're a video gamer, and he got the most retweets of anybody announced for Wiffle Wars, by the way.
Wow.
Ben Lieber. Did we say Ben? I don't know if we did. Chad Greenway. Oh, there's the Dave Schwartz card. That might be a collector's item, being he's not actually playing. Quitter. Tommy Olsen.
Tommy O.
Janice Shortle. This year, of course, it benefits Children's Hospitals and Clinics in Minnesota. So the dude from Children's is playing.
The dude.
He's a blast. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tyler George.
Tyler George.
Curling extraordinaire. Zach Dillon, KDWB. We don't have to say anything more about him. AJ Mansour, Don Mitchell, Jim Rich, John Randall, we mentioned, Mark Parrish, Meat Sweats, and then we have all the new people that we just mentioned. So there you go.
There it is.
It's going to be a good lineup.
CHS Field. Get out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
You buy a ticket now for $25. You get into Wiffle Wars. You get into the Saints game. You get a Saints hat. And proceeds from that ticket go to Children's Minnesota. So you can come watch us. Have a whole bunch of fun. If you got kids, bring them, please. We've got custom logoed wiffle balls, thanks to Maynard's. And we're going to hit those into the stands. The kids can grab those and probably get them signed by somebody when it's all said and done. Got a few other tricks and wrinkles up our sleeves. So buy a ticket right now, wifflewars.com. Plus, you can see the whole lineup there.
Fun.
It is a whole bunch of family fun. Plus, you can stay for the Saints game, which is a blast.
Absolutely.
Anything else on Wiffle Wars? Just come. No, come just, hang. Yeah. It's a great cause. Please do. So, quite a bit. It's the biggest understatement ever. Quite a bit's happened since we last did this.
Yeah, there was.
I think it's safe to say that our favorite team has a very different look.
Very different look.
In more ways than one.
Especially because nobody knows really who their boss is yet.
Right.
So the boss is yet.
Let's tease that. We'll go back to that in a second. Let's quick hit the NHL free agency. Who do you think is? You can only pick one. You can't pick multiple. The biggest signings were Artturi Panemin, Panarin, Breadman, Matt Duchene, Sergei Bobrovsky, Joe Pavelski, Corey Perry, Robin Leonard, Wayne Simmonds, Matt Zuccarello, Marcus Johansson, Gustav Nyquist, Tyler Myers. Those are the 12 biggest, according to Sporting News. Which one do you think is the biggest impact for his team?
I'm going to have to go with Bobrovsky.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, obviously, replacing a goaltender like Roberto Luongo is incredibly difficult, seeing that he's one of the greatest of all times.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a great job by getting Bobrovsky. He's the only one out there that's got two Vezina trophies in his trophy cabinet right now.
Are goaltenders important in hockey?
They are the most important position in hockey. And the Panarin, obviously, with the Rangers, that's a big signing. But, I think Bobrovsky's probably going to have the most impact.
And they've, from a few things that I've read here in the offseason, a lot of critics, analysts, experts kind of like what Florida's putting together.
Yeah.
So
yeah. they've got a good core
young
going
core,
in
yeah.
there. Yeah,
you give them a goaltender and
give everything together. Yeah, it's it was one of those. They were so close a couple years ago, and then they kind of made some decisions where it kind of blew up the organization, stumbled for the last couple of years. But the core, the group of guys, is still there. Most of them are still there. Now they've gotten a couple years older. You add a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky, that's a huge game changer. It's just like, you know, the Panarin and the Rangers. He's a game changer too, although his playoffs was a little off last year in Columbus. I love the Johansson, and I think that's an underrated. He played spectacular in the playoffs. He was incredible. I love that signing. I think he's going to be surprised and kind of come out of the woodwork. He's been an unsung hero in the last couple of years, and he stepped put his best foot forward in these playoffs. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does now in Buffalo.
What about Robin Lehner in Chicago? It's only a 1-year deal, but they gave him $5 million. Is Corey Crawford's job on the line? I mean, is he not the starter anymore?
Well, with his injuries, he's just been kind of battling himself it's one of those where he hasn't been able to, you know, play a full season. And when you can't get into a rhythm playing games, you're just kind of going to fall off a little bit in your game. The numbers are going to show a little bit. I don't think by any means his career is over, but at the same time, they realize that they do need a backup for him, that he's not going to play as many games as they hope, or he hasn't. So they have to have that insurance policy. Obviously, Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss last year did a spectacular job on the island.
Right.
The Jennings Trophy. So then you have a guy that's used to playing with, you know, a 1-2 kind of style combo, even though Robin Lehner was up for the Vezina. Won the starting job over Greiss by the end of the year, was the number one guy. Still, they split up time. Barry Trotz did a very good job of getting rest, getting each goaltender in there, letting them play. If one of them was, you know, hot, you got to keep the hot hand in there. And that's something that the Chicago looked at, I'm sure, and say, hey, this is a perfect fit for us. And the way he came back last year, obviously, I played with him in Binghamton. Love the kid. I'm so proud of how he's come back and turned everything around.
An awesome
what
story.
He's been through. I was kind of hoping, especially with the backing, with the support group that they had set up on Long Island, I was kind of surprised. I thought they'd maybe give him another year. Obviously, went another direction with Varlamov, but
yeah, that's a head scratcher to me.
Yeah,
but
it is what it is, and so it's good luck to him in Chicago. But it looks like on the outside that maybe they're scared of Corey Crawford losing his job. That's not it. It's just that they know they need a backup for him because his injuries. He hasn't been able to stay healthy for that long. And if you goaltending's number one position, most important position, you've got to have a capable goaltender.
Well, and as we saw on the island, that the platoon system, I mean, maybe they're doing more, not necessarily a 50-50, but maybe it's a 60-40 bit where, you know, Crawford just doesn't play nearly as much as he has in the past.
Try and save him up and try and get him to last the whole year, exactly.
Why is a guy like Jake Gardner not signed yet?
That's an interesting one, too.
Isn't that perplexing? I mean,
I don't know the exact details on that. I don't like to bug too many people when they're going through negotiations because it can be as an exciting and fun time. It can also be an extremely stressful time. So whether he's still kind of waiting to see what's out there, what his opportunities are, is you don't get to be an unrestricted free agent all that often.
Right.
And so you want to choose wisely, choose carefully. And if he sits back, he's a good, you know, still a top four defenseman. I think he's one of those guys that he's going to go somewhere. The next place he signs with, this is a big year for him. He's getting out of Toronto now. In Toronto, you're under a microscope. And it's tough to be. Once you kind of get under that microscope in Toronto, you kind of turn into an ant, and this negativity just seems to follow you no matter what you do. His numbers really are pretty darn good, but obviously there's some other parts of the game where it just is what it is. I think wherever he goes to the next, this next team is going to be big for him because he's going to relax. He's not going to have all the pressure. He's not going to feel like he's under the microscope. He can just play his game and get right back to him being satisfied with his game.
Yeah, because it's crazy. I mean, you look at the other ones that aren't signed yet. It's Marlow, Thornton, Brian Boyle, Dion Phaneuf, Justin Williams. It's, you know, it's aged veterans who they probably will be more of a last-minute kind of a thing. They don't need training camp probably as much, you know what I mean, where Jake's still kind of in the prime, you know, so it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when for Jake.
Oh, yeah.
So now we'll turn the focus to the Wild. Holy moly. Where do you want to start? Free agency?
I like the Zuccarello signing. I mean, he's a skilled player. He's somebody that, he's going to help the Wild win now, but it was interesting when you hear how Fenton wanted to go younger and faster and get the core there, and then
Signs a 32-year-old.
32-year-old, 5 years, and stall for a 2-year extension. It was just, there's some interesting, questionable moves. Obviously, the whole Zucker debacle. That's just one of the craziest situations that you'll ever see. A guy more or less knowing he was traded 3 times.
Is it fair to say that was handled poorly?
Fucking horribly. I don't know how it's so many head scratchers in that whole. I'm just going with debacle. I'm just going to keep that word going for that one.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of no surprise. I don't think anybody was surprised. I don't think Fenton was even surprised, even though it only lasted 14 months, that it obviously didn't quite work out. And that's probably the biggest news as of late, because it's about a month away from training camp opening house.
Crazy
month and
time
a half
to do it, right?
But from training camp. But it is, but it isn't.
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
You know, there's enough, there's some homework, there's things behind the scenes for the draft, and maybe that was... There's a whole bunch of little things, like Craig said. So you see the draft and then last year's draft and seeing how things play out. Well, it's, all right, it's do it now or we're giving him another year. So as much as it's not ideal, you want to be able to give the new regime, time for the draft. Let them take over, have the whole summer, because it's a madhouse. Now, not only is the GM's got to, assess who he likes, maybe bring an assistant GM. Does he want to make any personnel changes that way? But obviously he's just going to have a chance now. By the time he comes in, it's going to be behind the scenes. He'll get to watch the players. He'll assess the skill on the ice and then be able to kind of make decisions as the season goes. But yeah, it is not ideal, but at least it gives them time to get a little bit settled. If there is it's not as horrible time as you think, but it's just not ideal.
No, I mean, at the same time, like you just said, you don't want to bring a guy in a month before the draft,
yeah,
and month before, and then free agency is shortly after that. Now is kind of the time, because things are set, for better or worse, things are set the way they're going to be set.
Exactly.
Now you can sit back, watch, assess, and then make decisions rather than, again, as much of a, you were saying debacle, I think a good word is shit show, as much of a shit show as GM Fenton was, you'd rather have him in place for the draft and free agency than some random person that isn't familiar with the team and doesn't know how the chemistry at least he knows, at least he's familiar. The lesser of two evils, I guess,
yeah.
You could say.
And the thing was too is that was with Fenton, and that's kind of the another big head scratcher too is I can't think of his name, I know the draft pick last year, obviously he's been struggling in Sweden. Defenseman.
Yeah.
He's struggling. And then
you can't even remember his
draft,
name.
Yeah. How bad is that?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying that's your first pick.
Yeah. Well, and there was,
not you,
there,
him.
Was there were people, there were scouts in the room that never heard of him. And that was here. And
is that a case where you're trying to be the smartest guy in the room? Is that what that is?
He is known to be like, this is what he made his career on, is having an eye and like drafting and scouting and like finding these great players. That's what he's done in Nashville. That's what he's done for 25 years. That was his go-to. That was his MO. And now it's like, okay, well, let's at least give him the draft and go from there. And then it was another kind of okay draft when you look at it afterwards compared to last year. And I'm thinking I'm being kind of nice.
Yeah. For those that are screaming at their phone right now, Philip Johansson. Yeah, right. I just wanted to like get
that. That was killing me. Yeah. But no, so yeah, like after the draft and that again, like, wait a minute. Like, now this is a second draft. This is what we're here for. You're supposed to be restocking our youth, give us some prospects to go along with the young guys that we already have a nice strong core moving forward. And it's just kind of 2 years of wah, wah, wah. So it's not surprising that
poop in a bucket.
It's amazing that how much crap happened over 14 months.
Yeah, well, like we were talking about earlier, it was only 14 months, but the firing felt overdue.
Right? That's insane. It was like from day. It was just, and it was just a weird vibe. Obviously, the behind the scenes stuff, the way things handled, the atmosphere for just. The organization as a whole in the locker room, well, all that starts with the GM. The GM's attitude that, you take over the personality that, that you kind of want, that GM's putting his personality into the team and how he wants the attitude. And it did not fit, obviously, with Craig's, Matt Maka's. It did not fit with what they saw, which is very important because they're his boss.
Yeah.
Don't want to piss off owners. Don't do it.
No.
Always do what they say.
And every report there is,
I should say, like, do what they ask.
Like, you don't ever want to see a guy lose his job.
No, it sucks.
But at the same time, I don't have as much trouble trampling on this guy's professional grave because every person you talk to says he was an asshole. And like that, that's like, no GM, like you say, bats a thousand. Nobody makes the perfect trade every time. Nobody makes a perfect draft pick every single time. What's the number one rule in life? The number one rule in life is don't be a dick.
Don't burn bridges.
Don't be a dick. Mm-hmm. Like, and from every person that I've talked to, he was just a dick. And that's like, that's just not how to handle it. So yeah. It's like, you know what? Sayonara, grasshopper.
And interesting too, you know, and I've spoke with him a few times. I've never had an issue. Seems very nice.
Yeah.
You know, smiling, you know, easy to banter, good talk, good conversation.
Yeah.
Like no big deal. So yeah, like when I kind of first started hearing that, I was actually kind of taken aback.
Yeah.
Like really?
Yeah.
Not only is that surprising, because a few times I've met him, he's been really nice, been easy to get along with. But dude,
he was out to Dubuque League once last year, and he was
his first year. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, right.
Like this is odd.
Yeah,
but you never know how you know. You look at 25 years assistant GM, how long Craig's known him, worked at Nashville, how good of a job he did with Nashville with David Poyle.
Yeah,
and then you get the job, you just don't know. Just like everything else, like a signing of a free agent, a signing of a GM, a head coach, it's a leap of faith. You're hoping it's going to work out, but you don't know what's going to happen until you're in that lineup, until the coach takes over, until all of a sudden you start to feel that day-to-day pressure of having to do all those things behind the scenes where he didn't have to worry about that in Nashville. So it sucks, but you know, you can't really blame anybody but him.
Right. You can't. Yeah, you're correct. I hate to say it, but that's just.
I don't know what else.
Nobody else's fault.
There's not like it wasn't like somebody underperformed on the ice or there wasn't anything like that. It was just woofta.
I'll go back to my expert analysis. Don't be a dick. I mean, isn't that the number one rule in life? Just don't be a dick. And he couldn't do that. So, you know, that's why I said, yeah, I don't really have a lot of hard feelings for the guy just because of the way he handled himself, by all accounts. Now, I don't know that personally, but by all accounts, he didn't handle himself very well. So
that's anyway. Yes, from what we both have heard that. But
hopefully he can learn from that and
hopefully he can catch on somewhere doing something
behind the scenes, not leading people and being an asshole to everybody.
I don't think he's going to be a GM for a while.
No, probably not. Probably going to have to earn his way back to that again.
Especially with some of the things that Craig says. I mean, you got to be honest. Like, that's the thing. Like, when you get bought out, when you get traded, like, you have to be honest. Like, the people want to know why. So he has to. Can't just be like, well, you know, 14 months. He did a great job. Thanks. Appreciate it. We just felt like, you know, no, 14 months. I mean, you've won. He's got to swallow his pride as the owner because he hired this guy for 3 years.
Yep.
And which is, I commend him for. That's not easy to do. A lot of owners would swallow their pride.
Admit a mistake.
Amen. And put their money where their mouth is, and they go out there and like, hey, you know what? They do it. But he's got to be honest. And why did it not work out? Hey, behind the scenes, we didn't like it. I mean, he was answering questions and he was just being honest. But man, those quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put them on your resume, Paul.
Yeah. I wouldn't use Craig as a reference.
Ooh. But it's but he's right and they're true. It sucks. It sucks getting people fired. Nobody's happy. Everybody feels, from Craig, everyone feels like they've failed when someone gets fired.
Right.
Whether you're happy about it because you don't think he played, was a coach, you didn't play that much or whatever, it's shit. It sucks. It sucks when somebody gets fired. So as much as it was overdue, it needed to happen, he dug his own grave, still sucks, man.
Yeah. Still a human.
Yeah.
Just gotta get better at being one, I guess.
Jesus, just man,
don't be a dick.
Oh, and just more. I don't want to get into the stories, but more and more stories keep coming out. You're like, good Lord, how long was this 14? If we on the outside as fans, felt like this 14 months was a long, long time. How did it feel like in that locker room?
Oh, man.
And in the front office, in the business side? You know, I just... Well, onward and upward.
I kind of know what it feels like doing onward a podcast with you, so yeah, I have an idea.
Suck it.
On that note, I think that's enough.
That's a good one.
Okay. Parrish Fletcher Podcast, SodaStick.com Studios. I think you get Wiffle, if you're still listening, get Wiffle Wars tickets, would you? WiffleWars.com. I mean, we want you to come.
Please.
Obviously.
And it's fun.
It is fun. It's great for the family. Stay for the Saints game that night. But if you really can't make it, you can still go buy a ticket.
Yeah. It's a donation.
Still a donation, yeah. I mean, but come, too.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Soda Stick. Thanks, Landon. Thanks, what do we call him, Josh?
Josh.
I forget John. His fake name. Is it Josh?
John.
Josh.
Jeff.
Josh. Randy. Jordy. Randy.
Butt ass.
Butt ass. Randy Buttass. Now we're doing inside jokes. Okay, see you later and stuff.